The Fed says the road to controlling inflation is bumpy. Are we about to hit a pothole? From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. In a mere couple of hours, we will find out how good or how bad inflation was trending last month. The Consumer Price Index is coming out. Economists are expecting prices to have kept rising in February at the same pace they did in January, 0.3%. It would obviously be better if price increases slowed down, but we'll see. On the bright side, recently, wages have been rising faster than inflation has been eating them up. But of course, there is a catch. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
After prices soared in 2022, the purchasing power of wages started to catch up last year.
We've seen an improvement in consumers' finances really over the last 6 months when real wage growth turned positive.
Economist John Lear at polling firm Morning Consult says this benefited high earners first.
They were not as much in debt as some of the middle and low income folks.
It's been harder for those households to afford higher food, rent, and gas prices without getting into debt. And even with wages rising, they've been playing catch up.
And that's largely because they are paying elevated interest rates. Once you go down the wrong end of the credit cycle, it's tough to work your way out.
Meanwhile, on average, Americans are working fewer hours than they were last year and in 2019, says Liv Wang at payroll processor ADP.
We see higher wage growth since the recovery, but if people are working less, their total earnings can still be less than inflation.
ADP finds weekly work hours are down for women and for the highest earners, but low-income workers and men are still putting in at least as many hours as before the pandemic. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
New York Community Bank, the latest mid-sized bank that has run into trouble, says it has got a lifeline. It's sealed a deal with a group of investors who have now provided $1 billion in capital to the bank. The optimistic view on Wall Street is that this will help NYCB deal with its mounting problems. NYCB shares are up a little less than 3% this morning in pre-market trading. Marketplace's Nova Sappho has more.
The $1 billion in new capital is intended to give New York Community Bank the financial cushion it needs to withstand a series of shocks, starting with souring commercial real estate loans that led to a surprise quarterly loss in January. The bank's shares have lost 70% of their value this year, and in closing the capital deal, the company said it would consolidate its shares 3-1. It's also adding several of its new investors to its board of directors, including Steven Mnuchin, the former Treasury Secretary during the Trump administration. The bank says it will offer a turnaround plan next month. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
Reddit is getting ready to become a publicly traded company. The social media platform is looking to raise almost $750 million in an initial public offering of its common stock. It is also reserving nearly 1.8 million shares for users and moderators. More on that at marketplace.org. For the federal government, the 2024 fiscal year started in October of last year. I mentioned this only to point out that some of the funding for that year didn't make it through Congress and to the president's desk until only last weekend. Now that it has, people are sifting through the details and the earmarks. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has more.
Earmarks are sort of like footnotes on funding bills, promising to spend money on specific projects requested by individual members of Congress. Earmarks were banned for about a decade after some high-profile scandals and examples of waste. But since they were brought back a few years ago,
there's a requirement to demonstrate community support for projects, which didn't exist in the past. For-profit organizations, companies are not eligible to receive them.
Michael Thorning is director of structural democracy at the Bipartisan Policy Center.
There is an overall cap on the amount of money that Congress can direct in this way. And the system that we have now is the most transparent that it has ever been in our history.
You can go to the House Appropriations Committee website and find lists of earmarks as well as who requested them. According to an analysis by Bloomberg Government, In this latest package, there are more than 6,000 earmarks, totaling more than $12 billion. That's less than 3% of the total spending package for things like
infrastructure projects, help for police, affordable housing.
Diana Evans is a professor emerita of political science at Trinity College and has studied earmarks for decades. She says in this batch,
for Republicans, it tends to be more large infrastructure projects. So actually, Republican spending is greater than Democratic spending on earmarks because of the size of the projects that they're earmarking.
Even with the new rules, there's still a lot of politicking when it comes to earmarking.
The closer you are to the seat of power, the more likely you are to get earmarks. So appropriators writing the bills get more earmarks than people not writing the bills.
Joshua Sewell is Director of Research and Policy at Taxpayers for Common Sense.
And also we're seeing people who are in tough elections tend to get earmarks as opposed to folks who are in safe districts.
Because whether a member of Congress voted for the final package or not, money for any earmarks they slipped in will still end up in their districts and the projects in their campaign ads. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Our producers are Elizabeth Hodson, Naomi Rainey, Nick Perez, Ariana Rosas, Alex Schroeder, and Erica Soderstrom. Our senior producer is Meredith Gerritsen-Morby. And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.